Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What is happening, gang? We are live on the Inside Football Podcast with Bill Polian, and we have arrived at my favorite part of the year. It's draft season. We are in full draft season swing on the Inside Football Podcast with Bill Polian. In today's episode, we take a look at what some people are saying is the best and the deepest position group in this year's draft, the edge rushers and the defensive tackles. This is a really unique look as Bill gives us a breakdown of who he thinks the sort of top edge rush prospects are. One of the questions we kind of dive into is how this group compares to years in the past, and is it truly elite? I think the draft industrial complex has definitely made this one of the sort of elite position groups in the past few years in the draft, and Bill is quick to kind of dispel that theory. Not that he doesn't think this is a great group, but more that we've got to wait 5 to 10 to maybe 15 years before we know, hey, is this an all-time group? We get Bill's breakdown of some of the top prospects, but perhaps the most interesting part of this episode for me is getting Bill's perspective on guys we need to be aware of. I think all of us sort of draft nicks and draft geeks are kind of wondering, in a position group that is this deep, who are some of the names that we need to know about who might get drafted on day two or day three, who could have significant impact on NFL rosters next season? And I think some of the names will surprise you. At the end, we dive into sort of one of the more complicated parts of this year's group, and we look at David Ojabo and sort of what impact that injury has on him moving forward, and then obviously Bill's breakdown of the top prospects with Hutchinson and Thibodeau. But before we dive into today's episode, I want to take a minute and talk about one of our favorite sponsors on the pod, BetOnline. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA playoffs, fights, and even next season futures, which should be evolving by the minute. And don't forget that MLB is back and locked and loaded as well. Who are you picking to win this year's World Series? I think I have my guess, but who is yours? BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today and use your mobile device to join, and use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, gang, this is the Inside Football Podcast with Bill Polian, and this is our look at edge rushers and defensive tackles in the 2022 NFL Draft. All right, gang, we are live on the Inside Football Podcast, Bill Polian. And in today's episode, we're diving into a group that the draft industrial complex has definitely identified as one of the deepest groups in this draft. It's going to be really fun. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the edge players and a couple of the interior defensive linemen. This is our dive into the D-line show. How are we doing today, guys?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, we're going well, and we're talking defense. I know you like that, Scott.
I know, we like this. So, Bill, before we dive in, how do you feel about this D-line group overall? Is this like an all-time group? Is this a special group, or is this just kind of what the draft industrial complex has identified as just the special group of this draft?
Well, I think it's a special group. I don't know if it's an all-timer. I mean, you never know that until you let's talk 10 years from now.
Exactly.
But the bottom line is that it's a talented group and a deep group, very deep group. So if you need an edge rusher or you need an inside tackle, particularly rushers, you got a chance to get one. There'll be a run on these guys in the first round, I think, and then there's plenty of edge rushers available in the second and third rounds too.
Very cool. All right, so where are we starting today?
Well, let's start out with the two top guys. They may go one and two in the draft. Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan and Thibodeau from the University of Oregon. And this is kind of a comparison between Bruce Smith and Ray Childress many, many years ago, except that Thibodeau is not 300 pounds. He's 255 pounds. Bruce was 300 pounds in those days. But Thibodeau is every bit the athlete that Bruce Smith was. Interestingly enough, he's playing at about the right weight Bruce Smith played at when he got skinny and got in shape and really became the Bruce Smith that became a Hall of Famer. He has all the athletic abilities, 4'6". And that's an incredible speed for a man that size. He can bend. He's got long arms. He can get to the passer. He's naturally slippery. He's got quick and heavy hands. He's got pop when he hits you. He can turn speed into power. He can do it all. Problem is that he doesn't do it all the time.
Right.
He takes plays off. He doesn't pursue as much as you'd like. The motor doesn't run at 100 RPMs all the time. And so that was very similar to Bruce. When Bruce was coming out, Bruce's issue was not his motor. It was the 300 pounds. It was awfully hard for him to drag around.
Right. And who would have thought now today Virginia Tech would be producing kind of like lighter 225-pound edge rushers versus the Bruce Smiths of the world?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, Bruce Smith showed them what they should be.
I know. But the problem now is they're all little guys.
Yeah.
Hey.
But Thibodeau, what we don't know is the 40% of the equation, which is what's the psychological grade. What's the intelligence grade? What's the character issues, if there are any? I don't think there are any really in either of these guys, but we don't know that. And without that big, really big part of the equation, it's hard to make a decision on who would be who. But the clubs have that information and they'll make that decision. Hutchinson, on the other hand, is almost the opposite. 6'6", 260, 4'8", in the 40, which is not fast enough to be an absolutely dynamite outside rusher. He has short arms as well, despite the 6'6". They're barely over 32 inches. But he is naturally slippery. His motor runs 1,000 RPMs all the time, every play. He's developed terrific moves and counter moves. He's got a lot of instinctive pass rush ability. And he is a worker par excellence. So take your pick, whichever one you want. The baloney about, well, Thibodeau's ceiling is higher. Yeah, maybe it is. But all I know is that Hutchinson goes out there and plays hard and makes plays every down. So
yeah.
you choose who you want, and we'll see who's better in the long run. But they're two top guys that should go right at the top of the draft.
I mean, you know, also right with Hutchinson, I mean, he's one of those guys just like a Frank Merriwell, Bill, you know what I mean, who you draft up in terms of All-American in character, intelligence, captains, you know, every kind of award, community stuff. I mean, he really is really sort of the All-American boy in a lot of ways. Thibodeau, they kind of paint the other way, but did you see that press conference he had when he talked about growing up in South Central and what his mom sacrificed for him? And if he wasn't someone with desire and heart, he could have never gotten this far, and he was going to show the world. So, you know, maybe coming in with a chip on your shoulder can be a good thing.
Well, I don't put any stock in press conferences, and I don't put any stock in any of that stuff. It's what they show on film and what the numbers show that tell me that if it was press conferences, Johnny Manziel would be in the Hall of Fame.
It just struck me as a sincere and reasonable answer to what people, they were challenging his character.
Well, first of all, they have no right to challenge his character. They did the same thing. Media did the same thing with the quarterback from Oregon last year. They said he wasn't a leader. That was a lie. And he proved it at the Senior Bowl. Who knows who puts this junk out there? It's junk. It's worthless. Yeah. And so I don't pay any attention to it. Never did and never will.
Hey, Bill, in framing this decision, are there any parallels to like the Manning-Leaf decision with these two guys in the sense that, you know, it's kind of like a theme you talked about last week where you knew if you miss with Peyton, you got Bernie Kosar. If you miss with Ryan Leaf, you know, you might be in trouble. Do you feel like that's at all the decision these teams at the top of the draft face with Hutchinson
and Thibodeau? No, and I don't hear anything to that effect either. Thibodeau, he's a fine player, and he's got a lot of ability, and I'm sure he'll be a good player in the league. I've heard people say as recently as last weekend, look, you got to coach him to go hard every play, but we can do that. We can coach him. No, he has nowhere near the difficulties that Ryan Leaf had. Nowhere near.
When people are making a decision like this, is it that say if two teams are evaluating them, are two excellent general managers and you know all the folks around them looking at the same thing and just interpreting it differently, or is it we like this kind of a thing on our team and we think he's got this? I mean, what is the edge? Why say the first two teams are going to pick these guys? One would go one way and one would go the other. Just in general.
Well, on the one hand, you only have one pick, so whoever's left, you probably will take because they're both first rounders. Now, if you have the choice between the two, which we did with Bruce Smith, versus the tackle from Ray Childress from Texas A&M, you're doing one of two things. You're either betting on the come because Thibodeau is so talented and a good player and by all accounts a good guy. But doesn't have that 1,000% motor, or are you betting on Hutchinson because you like the 1,000% motor and the power guy? He may be a better fit if you're a power four three team. He might be the better fit because he can play the run better than Thibodeau can. So I don't think you go wrong with either guy. There's no real bust factor there. At least not that I can see. And if you have the choice, you're just deciding on which guy you want. Thibodeau does have the chance because of the phenomenal athletic ability, has the chance to be a more impactful player. But that neither one of them will be bad players, I don't think.
Do you think Hutchinson can play inside at all?
No, not at 260.
Okay.
Not he's too long and at 260, going inside is now as a in nickel rush. That's a different story. That his length and lack of big time speed on the outside really helps him. He's an overmatch for guards in nickel.
All right. So where are we headed next, Bill?
Well, let's stay in the defensive end rushman area. The next guy we're talking about is Walker from Georgia, 6'5", 280, 474. Now, he when you look at the film, he's a man without a country because he plays five technique at Georgia, which means he's over the offensive tackle. And he's rarely in a 7 or 9 technique, which is where some of the so-called edge rushers will play. First of all, to me, he is a bona fide 3 technique in a Tampa 2 system. because that speed and change of direction, which is also very good, will give him an opportunity to be really effective in there. Otherwise, he is a defensive end who can play five technique or four eye in the 3-4 and then bump down over the guard in pass rushing situations when you go to four front. And keep in mind that everybody's in four front 60% of the time because they're in nickel 60% of the time. So this gives him an opportunity to really be effective as an inside rusher. He's still a work in progress. He needs a lot of technique refinement and a lot of coaching in terms of pass rush moves, but he's really got a chance to be pretty special with those numbers. The production is not the same as Hutchinson and Thibodeau. The next guy we're talking about.
Go ahead, Scott. No, it's go one question.
How worrisome? Because I mean, not to leverage Rick's term, but the draft industrial complex is definitely sort of this is the riser. This is the guy that's rising. How worried would you be about that production in terms of your evaluation, especially if you feel like, you know, who knows how the team, I don't know how the teams feel, but if the complex is thinking in some mock drafts, this guy could go one, that's a real stretch, right?
To me, it's a stretch to me. I don't think he's there yet. I don't think he's, you know, you talk about one in the whole draft?
Right.
Oh my God. No.
Bill, with a guy like this who, you know, played for a couple of years, he was like playing at 290 and then he goes down to 275. Given what you're describing, would some teams want to say put some weight back on and move in, or do they want to have him stay lighter and stay out?
Generally speaking, lighter is better unless you're a nose tackle, and he's not a nose tackle.
Okay.
That's the, you know, generally speaking, lighter is better. You know, when you're getting into the 330 and above, those guys don't stay healthy and they're not quick enough over the long haul. The next guy is an interesting guy too, because he's a big numbers guy and kind of raw, but I think he's got big potential. DeMarvin Leal from Texas A&M, 6'3", 290, 478. Woo-wee. And he's a natural born slugger who goes after the passer. Now, he's raw as can be. He needs a lot of work in pass rush technique. But this guy gets after it. And so when you're looking at this size, this is perfect size. This is central casting for a three technique in Tampa 2 and central casting for playing over a guard in four down nickel. So this guy he's got all that going for him. He's probably going to be drafted higher than his production would indicate, but there's so much to work with here.
Hey, Bill, to that point, let's say there's a positional run on these sort of edge players in this draft. How does that affect you as a general manager if you feel like you got to get an edge player?
Well, you know, first of all, you can predict where the runs are by looking at your board, where they're sitting. And for example, the next two guys we're going to talk about, Johnson and Calafita, Johnson from Florida State and Calafita from Purdue. Those are guys that are going to be at the top of the second round, middle of the second round. If a run starts at the bottom of the first round, then, and you want one, you have to trade into the run because runs are real.
Right.
People they just get caught up in it. So if you have one that you really believe in, better off to trade into it because you're better off to take the player around too early than around too late. You're going to feel awful if you miss on him, especially if you have a firm belief in him. If you're shrugging your shoulders and say, look, I'm happy with another guy in the second round, if we lose this guy, that's fine. You don't have to worry about it.
Right.
But if you have a guy that you believe in and a run starts, you better trade into the run.
Yeah. Because you wonder in this draft, in those top 15 picks, where it seems like from a fan's perspective, this could be a pretty unpredictable draft. You could see a run on edge. You could see a run on receiver, cornerback, or tackle.
Well, they're not enough tackles to have a run. I mean, they're all going to go. But and quarterbacks, you know, will be down at the bottom of the round.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking receiver, maybe edge rushers where you could see a run.
Yeah, receiver and edge rusher is where you might get a run because there are enough of them to have people feel like, well, maybe I could wait a little while. Well, you might wait a little while and the bus might leave. That's the danger that you run into.
Isn't that always the
– Yeah.
When it's deep.
Yeah. So, you know, let's talk Johnson and Kalafitis. Johnson is a double transfer and did not have a great year at Florida State this year. He's 6'5", 255, ideal size, you know, for an outside edge rusher or a 3-4 outside linebacker. Not a great run player, but can get off the ball and attack the passer. And he was the star of the Senior Bowl. He just lit it up at the Senior Bowl. So he's a guy that is going to get drafted higher than his production would indicate, because when you look at edge rushers particularly and corners particularly, it's the numbers that tell the story. If you don't have the numbers, the odds of being really effective are not good. So this guy with really great numbers, likely to go higher than his production would indicate. Conversely, Kalafitis is really a great producer. He's a hard-nosed guy. He plays hard every down, 6'4", 270. So he can play four down defensive end through three downs. He's a high 4'7" guy. Which is okay, but not great. He's a high motor guy, a real hard worker. You could see him slip into the bottom of the first round if a run starts, because he's really a very productive player. But the numbers fall outside the kind of sure shot area that you would normally bank on. Those are the edge rushers, and DeMarvin Leal kind of fits into a separate category, because he can do a lot of things, and then the guys that are left to talk about are Davis from Georgia, the nose tackle, 6'6", 350, very tough, very strong. Outstanding two-gapper. The difference between he, normally at 350, I would say, get him out of it. He's a sloppy guy. But he's not. And he's got enough power to walk blockers, particularly 290 to 310 centers, back into the quarterback. And that's Bill Belichick's dream guy.
Yeah.
This is Belichick's. This is the guy he's waiting for.
Right.
Now, at 350, is he going to be able to do it in the National Football League every down? No. It's going to be hard for him.
Yeah.
And how did he get to 350? I mean, we don't know that. You got to look into it. And you also have to look into what his body type is like in terms of twitch and lean weight. Is he fat, or is he a naturally humongous person? We don't know that, because we don't have access to that information.
Right.
Those questions have to be answered. But based on what you see at the college level, this is a rare guy who can play at that weight and be really effective.
Bill, is it a little bit different now? You know, with obviously nutrition, even at the college, I mean, they have, you know, people that are trying to get these guys to eat the right thing, and, work out correctly. And, you know, a lot different than it was in the old days. When you see that, is that really an outlier? Or, I mean, is that usually somebody who's just ordering pizzas in the dorm? Or is that usually like a, you know, something, the guy's just got a huge frame, or he's got a glandular condition, or, you know, or some other thing like that?
Well, what you have to figure out is whether he's ordering pizzas in the dorm,
right?
Yeah. Or whether or not he's an anomaly as a person that, you know, whose lean weight is 330 or 320. Right. You know, that's what you have to figure out. And the strength coaches are able to do that. And the background checks will tell you that. That's all information we're not privy to, nor should we be. But I'd be remiss if I didn't say that that's the deciding factor in it.
What is happening, gang? Before we get into some players that need to be on your radar, I almost don't want some people in my league to know some of these radar guys. I want to take a minute from one of our favorite sponsors on the pod, Dynasty Owner. Do you love fantasy sports? Are you looking for a new challenge this year? Dynasty Owner is the new way to play fantasy football with real NFL salaries, adding the strategy of running an actual franchise. We were in the league last year. We love it. We performed not necessarily as well as we thought we would in year one. Kind of got a tough draw in the playoffs. But I will say we made it on the podium, top four team in our league. And I think we're really well positioned on the pod to compete even better this year. Hopefully Josh Allen has a monster year. Tyreek Hill excels in Miami. And you know, we could use a couple trades in the league. Dynasty Owner provides a unique and challenging experience that will test your skills as an owner and general manager. You will have complete control over your team's future, as do we. You can build through the draft, make trades, sign free agents, and manage your team's salary cap. I think all of us in the Dynasty Owner world right now are very focused on getting under the cap for next year. Can you create a dynasty of champions? Sign up now at dynastyowner.com and get started on building your dynasty today. I gotta tell you, of all the fantasy leagues I've ever been in, this is by far my favorite and the most realistic challenge. From figuring out how you got to navigate the cap to the year-over-year contracts, it's been a real learning curve for us going from year one to year two. I think you guys are going to love it. Sign up now at dynastyowner.com and get started today.
So, Bill, you know, just one last thing on the weight. When you talked about, you know, this being Belichick's ideal guy, if it turns out that he has a problem, you could figure out a way where he could drop. Does that in turn sacrifice, say, the very thing that is so special about him that a Belichick would want? I mean, are you trading away, you know, that unusual ability just clog up the middle?
No, because lean weight is effective weight. Fat weight is ineffective weight. Okay. Fat weight causes you to fatigue, causes a lack of movement. You know, leads to injuries. Whereas if this guy's lean weight was, let's say, 320 and he was playing at 325 with the kind of explosion and power that he has, you got a better player at 325 than you do at 350.
Right.
That's the physiology of it.
Got it. I mean, the lean weight, I just want to say two words to you, Alan Page.
There you go.
But, Bill, do you think there's anything to his just ridiculous combine performance that would lead you to believe that he just might be just an anomaly from a weight perspective? Plus, he was on the field a lot at Georgia.
Yeah, there's every reason to believe that he is an anomaly. But you have to, at that weight, you have to prove it.
Right.
You know, because otherwise and it's very easily provable. I mean, the strength coaches can do a test on him, which tells you what his lean weight and his fat weight is. And then, you know, you can check on what his dietary habits are. And Rick is right. You know, they nowadays at the major college level, they have the same dietary issues and the same dietary programs as we do at the NFL. In fact, they're more opulent at the college level nowadays. But, you know, the strength coach at Georgia, who's very good, will have a lot to say about his future, as will, you know, the tests that tell you what weight he really should be playing at. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that he's an anomaly. I mean, that's what the film tells me. Mm-hmm. But as a person who's making a draft choice, I wouldn't want to base it solely on the film. All this other, I keep saying 40% of the grade is not film. And the 40% of the grade is made up of things that we don't see and which the gurus on television don't see. All they do is talk. They're not privy to that information, nor should they.
Yeah. So, Bill, if he is carrying, let's say, 320 of lean weight, could he be a draft surprise for the sort of mock drafters of the world? Where
big time, of course. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Sure.
Wouldn't you love to see that?
I'd like to see him hug Roger, if nothing else.
Absolutely. He would, you know, you talk about moving up the board. If he could play at 325 and be effective, now, can he get there? That's where the dietary habits and all the rest of that comes into play.
Yep.
But that's not easy. We have a guy going on the Ring of Honor in Indianapolis this year, Tarik Glenn, who, if he could manage his weight, would have been a Hall of Famer because he'd have played five more years. And at the level at which he played, which was phenomenal, he would have been a walk-in choice for the Hall of Fame, but he couldn't do it. So these heavy guys really have a hard time getting to where they need to be and maintaining where they need to be. That's a concern. And the psychological testing will tell you that.
You know, not to mention the fact, Bill, they're still sort of kid. I mean, they're still growing and getting bigger and, you know, everything also. I mean, they're going to wind up, generally, you're getting, the big guys get bigger, don't you think? I mean, for the most part.
I've often referenced the late Dom Anilli, our great personnel director in both Carolina and Indianapolis. Dom used to say in his best Danny DeVito impression, if you give a fat guy $1 million, is he going to get skinny?
Gonna say no to that one.
I don't think he's drinking power shake.
Apply that Brooklyn logic to the situation that you're facing. Now, that's not to say that this young man is not, you know, who knows, but the question is, we don't know. The general managers know,
right?
So let me give you the names of some guys that you should keep track of as well, who are going to be, you know, in the mix and make teams as edge rushers. Greg Johnson from USC. Cameron Thomas, who's a poor man's Aiden Hutchinson at San Diego State. D'Angelo Malone, Western Kentucky, phenomenal workout. Tariq Smith, Ohio State, great first step quickness, really gets off the ball.
Played a lot of big football.
Yes, tremendous potential here for a guy as an edge rusher, not a run. Myron Tagovailoa Amosa, Notre Dame, really, really hard playing dude with a lot of production, and your favorite guy, Arnold, pronounce it for me.
Edibuke.
Edibuke, okay, from Penn State. This guy packs a punch now. Ooh, I'm telling you, he could be a heavyweight fighter. When he hits, he knocks people out, and that catches people's attention. And Isaiah Thomas from Oklahoma, who put on a show at the Senior Bowl now, I may have a bad time on him because he looked to me at the Senior Bowl a lot faster than what the published time was. So we'll see on him. But those are guys to keep an eye on. I've given you four names that will be drafted probably in the second or third round, or maybe even below. Or you're gonna hear their names called this fall.
In terms of, so the one name we didn't hit is the other candidate at Michigan. Well, obviously we have the injury. What are your thoughts on Ojabo?
Ojabo is a very, very good candidate. Had he not torn his Achilles, unfortunately, in a pro day workout, I think you're talking about him in the second round. He's a guy who gets off the ball. He's relentless. He plays hard. He's got good speed. I think his speed was excellent at the combine. He's a hard playing guy. He's got bend. There's always room for people like him. So you're talking about maybe ordinarily bottom of the second, maybe the third round. He's a little bit light, but that's the only real negative. So, you know, now with the torn Achilles, that's a different story. I think you're probably at best talking about somebody who's taking him with a compensatory pick because it's a gamble. The compensatory picks are called third rounders by the league. They're not, they're fourth rounders because they come at the end of the third round. So they're really fourth round players. And so that's probably where he ends up going.
Yeah, I think his 40 time was like 4.55.
Yeah, it was excellent.
They'll talk about, you know, relative to really difficult injuries, where would you rank Achilles?
Well, it's hard. First of all, it takes a year to come back. When you talk about injuries, everybody, I mean, if you're listening to the radio or watching on television and listening to the audio, he's ahead of schedule. What does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what that means. If you're talking about an ACL and he's ahead of schedule, it means he'll come back to his normal pre-injury situation in 2 years. Ahead of schedule would mean what? A year and a half? A year and three quarters? You can get the guy back on the field in 8 months or 9 months, but he's not going to be the same player. And there are other issues involved with injuries, that psychological issues that have to be overcome. With an Achilles, again, you can get him back in 8 or 9 months, but he's not going to be the same player. And the question of whether or not he has the same explosion for a guy who was an explosive player remains to be seen. You don't know that. Plus, Achilles tears are not foolproof. I mean, you can do it again. So depending on what the operation was. So you can't count on him this year. You have to ride him.
And, you know, and it would seem like of all the sports, football is the hardest thing to simulate until you're really back out there playing. I mean, you know, you can go on the basketball court, you can see you've got what I got. Football, until you're getting pounded and out there, how do you know how a knee's going to hold up or an Achilles is going to hold up?
Well, that therein lies the problem that no one talks about, the psychological problem. When you're coming back off a football injury, which is career-threatening, a knee injury, an Achilles injury, a shoulder injury, something like that, where you've had surgery, you have to convince yourself that you trust that limb. The doctor and the strength coach can tell you, yeah, it's fine, go ahead. But until you go ahead and do it and are able to test it and are able to get past the trepidation that every normal human being has in that situation, these guys are, they're the 0.0001% of elite athletes in the world, but they're still human beings. And young human beings, that's right. Many of whom have not suffered these injuries before. Until you can get past that hurdle, no pun intended, you won't be the same guy. So when you see a guy come back off injury and he's, you know, the commentators, well, he's hesitant. He doesn't look the same. Of course not. Why would
everybody? Right. And look, the guys who have gotten there, Bill, your point's so good. Anybody who made it to the NFL has triumphed at every level beyond almost anybody, you know, they knew at their high school, their college. They've never been challenged like this before to come back from a horrible injury like that.
Right. That's exactly right. And they've overcome every obstacle that's been put in their path. So, you know, as a GM, I always would say to the owner and to the head coach, look, let's err on the side of conservatism. Let's assume if we love Ajabo, where do we want to take him? And let's assume it's a year before we get him.
All right. So there was one thing we missed in last week's show that we heard about from a couple of our fans on Twitter. Jared Giddens brought this up himself. We missed one quarterback because we ran out of time. Bill, what is your thought process on Carson Strong?
My thought process on Carson Strong is that he's a very, very interesting prospect. He's 6'4", 226, 40 time of 504. For quarterbacks these days, that's a red number. And he was injured in high school and it was a knee injury, and it left him, you know, with reduced mobility. So he is a pure pocket passer. But listen to these statistics. By the way, Nevada was the only offer he had because of the injury in high school. Offensive player of the year in the Mountain West 2020 and 21. Trivia question. Who preceded him with that award?
Preceded him in the Mountain?
Him the year before?
The quarterback that preceded him.
Jordan Love?
Don't think so. Josh Allen.
There you go. Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Okay. Might have been Jordan Love. It was Josh Allen was who I was thinking of. 4,175 yards, 36 touchdowns in 21. And his weight was 212 in college, with 226 at the Senior Bowl. And so, you know, that he's going to be a 220 guy. That's what he's going to be. So that's a long, skinny guy who lacks great mobility in the pocket. But he does have tremendous arm strength, really good accuracy, really good processing. He's been well coached at Nevada in a pro style system. So this is a guy to keep an eye on. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see somebody take a shot at him at the bottom of the first, or certainly in the second. This is very similar, although you got more tape and more production, to Davis Mills a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Well, that one worked out for the Texans. And Rick, I think you might have gotten it. I did a little internet sleuthing. Rick might have won the Mountain West Conference Award for
all
the
right, day. Okay.
All right. Well, that is our show for today. As always, if you have topics you want us to hit, hit us up on Twitter at IFBillPolian. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Yep. Enjoy your week.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.